Salutations to the population of the BNG Nation. Welcome to the first edition of the Tuesday Pod. I know this is different from our regular schedule, but this is the new schedule with the Tuesday upload. So, playing your Tuesdays out to listen to your bowl, Cody Olson at Olson Cody if you want to follow me on Twitter. Also, if you want to follow me on a podcast network, that podcast network would be the Pulse Podcast Network. They are a great group of guys. We're shouting them out right now, so you guys can check them out. They have an app on the App Store right now, so pull out your iPhones. I don't know if it's on the Google Store or not, but for sure, iTunes Store. Check them out. It's just Pulse Podcast Network. You can have our app. I, unfortunately, am not on the app because I'm cheap and I don't want to spend $2 a month, but it's free for you guys, so it's free. You guys can listen to all your favorite podcasts, but if you don't want to download an app, you can always check out the website, and I am there. But wherever you're listening to right now, for me, is just fine. Oh, man, I appreciate it, guys. Oh, it warms my heart. Thank you, thank you. But let's get into the business. Business right now is this is our first edition of some Minnesota sports. Now, if you are familiar with this channel, I am from Minnesota, so I'm kind of engulfed in all of this Minnesota sports news. Now, I will say in multiple areas, I am not a professional in it by any means. For the Vikings and Timberwolves, I feel semi-qualified to talk about because I do pay attention to those sports the most. But as far as Minnesota Wild and Minnesota Twins, I think I'm going to have to step up my game. I do have a Minnesota Wild take, but since the Twins are still in the offseason, no takes yet. But we'll see what happens in the upcoming weeks. So I guess for the audience that are looking for a schedule plan for Minnesota sports for a while, yet again, I've said this for a while, fantasy football has obviously fallen off the decline. You can plan for next season, and maybe we can make a video in the future about that, our plans, so like what happened in the postseason that could translate into the 2019 fantasy football season, but there isn't really content for that. And then NFL is just overplayed right now, so we're just, you know, like I said, tapping into new networks. Now maybe Minnesota fans will tune in every single week because we got some Minnesota news. Well, maybe not news, but Minnesota takes. And we're going to start out with the Minnesota Vikings. These are the boys that are near and dear to my heart and that I feel... I use the word qualified, give and take. It's give and take because obviously I'm not a professional. I don't have a certificate that says Minnesota officially licensed football talker because that's not what I am. But I do say... qualified because I do watch every single game. I stay very close into the media of the Minnesota Vikings and the news of the Minnesota Vikings. So I thought I'd drop a little take on y'all. And this is regarding the NFL draft. Now there's a lot of speculation with the NFL draft, as there always is, because NFL is a 12-month a year sport. There is never a time in which NFL is out of the news. Once you think they're out, then they come out with something massive, and then all the talk is NFL again. Now, the NFL draft is different from all other drafts in that it is televised, and it's made quite a big deal of. It's this whole show. I know the NBA is going to do a live draft this year because they realize how successful the NFL draft is. Regardless, about the Minnesota Vikings, they have the 18th overall pick. Now, there is a flurry of ideas you can be thinking about where the Vikings need help. And specifically, I think the obvious answer is offensive linemen, specifically your offensive guard. So, the issue with this NFL draft is there's a bunch of NFL-ready rookie tackles out there. There's a bunch of tackles, including guys from Alabama, Texas A&M, Oklahoma. We're going to talk about a couple of these guys, but I just want to let you know there are a lot of first-round projected tackles. and zero guards. And for me, that is actually an issue, because the idea for the Vikings would be we would draft a tackle and then eventually convert them into a guard. And then I'll also get into the Vikings guard situation in a minute. But I do want to bring up the last time that we converted a tackle to guard, and it didn't work well. And we saw it this season. And that tackle to guard was Mike Remmers. Some people just like aren't meant to be a guard. He's actually a decent tackle. That's why we signed him, to be a tackle. But with injury issues, the right side, he was our right side tackle. We needed help. So essentially, he was moved into the inside, and then rookie Brian O'Neill took over at tackle. Brian O'Neill did good, and then I should mention our other tackle is Riley Reeve. He's one of the older veterans on the line, but he does a good job. He does a good job against some pretty hard talent, so you got to give him some slack. I mean, he saw Khalil Mack twice this year. I mean, that's some difficulty. But anyway, so that's our left side and right side tackle. And then on our right side guard was then Mike Remmers, because he was forced to move inside. And then our left side guard was Tom Compton, one of the vets who actually was a guard. Was he a guard or a tackle? He might even be converted too. But anyways, he protected Kirk Cousins while he was in Washington. So I'm just pointing out, Mike Remmers did not translate from tackle to guard. Some little stats about him. He allowed the third most pressures to QBs, and obviously that was our issue this year. Cousins did not have a good year because, you know, the general consensus is our line was terrible. It was not good. It was just stifled with injuries, and we looked bad. So, yeah, third most pressures allowed to a QB, and that's even saying something as a guard. Usually outside rushers or the tackles usually allow the most pressure, but it's interesting to see that he allowed the third most. And my idea behind him is we need to trade him or cut him. He has a $6.7 million hit to the cap, so that's a lot of cap room for another possible free agent. He's not really providing anything to our team, and I think it would be difficult just to, if we do have a position, or if we do replace him, I have a hard time seeing him as a backup, considering he's that hard of a hit. Why not like take a chance on a younger guy who could develop and obviously takes a much smaller hit to our cap than 6.7. So I'd like to see us cut him or trade him, but we'll see what happens in this year. And I have a couple ideas behind that, and I will tell you in a minute. So behind that Tom Compton idea, Tom Compton was actually a replacement. Early in the year, a lot of people forgot about, we had a left guard named Nick Easton, and he was hurt very early in the season. So, I mean, it's pretty easy to forget about, you know, linemen, but this is an idea we need to pay attention to. And Nick Easton is pretty good. He's one of those athletic guys who can, like, spread the ball. Well, not spread the ball, but he can get out in an open field, make some good blocks, and that'll help our run game. Hopefully our pass game as well as far as protection. I would be okay if Tom Compton is more of a backup, maybe a veteran presence. He's not making a massive hit to the cap, so we'll see what happens there. I'd be okay if he's a backup, but I do think it's Nick Easton's job as soon as he returns. Now, my idea for Remmers is, of course, I want to trade or cut him, but we can replace Mike Remmers with a high-end free agent guard. Two guys I found that will be high targets, like they'll be on the league's list, but I think we should spend our money on it. All money that's possible, we need to spend on one of these two guys, and that would be Roger Saffold, a part of the LA Rams, and Ramon Foster of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And if you've seen any of these teams as of late, specifically the LA Rams, because of course they're in the Super Bowl, their run blocking, their pass blocking is beautiful. They are a great, great offensive line, and I'd want a piece of this. Another thing about Ramon Foster, who is older, Ramon Foster is part of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and it doesn't matter what running back the Pittsburgh Steelers has, they're successful. they're successful because they have a great offensive line. And then Ramon Foster is that veteran presence. So he could be helping those young guys like our center, Pat Elflein, or Brian O'Neill. So I think that would be our best idea. That's my best idea. Spend our free agent money on guards. Improve that right side guard drastically, because let's be real, Remmer's transition was not good. And hopefully there's a team out there desperate enough for a tackle that will trade for him. That's my impression of what we need to do. So with that theoretically being done, with us signing a offensive guard, what would we need in the NFL draft? So the idea would be, improve depth for the offensive line, because obviously our offensive line has been hurt every single year. So here's the ideas. You can take a tackle possibly for Riley Reiff's replacement. I don't know if they would do this though. I don't think they would draft a tackle to replace Riley Reiff. Riley Reiff, one going into the 2019-2020 season, Reiff will be in the third year of a five-year contract. He does take a pretty massive hit to the cap. He's an $8 million cap, so that's quite a bit. But I don't think you need to improve that immediately. So you need depth there, but I don't think you need an immediate replacement with a first-round draft pick. And then the other idea would be a guard for the future. If you get one of those free agents, I don't see somebody, or specifically the Vikings, drafting a high-end offensive guard. Maybe a later-end offensive guard. But the issue is, there is no high-end offensive guards. You have to wait until the second or third round to get your first, true offensive guard. So I think you can wait a moment for your offensive guard if you improve immediately with signing one of these guards from either the LA Rams or the Pittsburgh Steelers. So with tackle and guard kind of crossed off, why not draft a high-end quarterback that's available? Why not take him? My example for this situation would be the Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers situation. So, if you're unfamiliar with that, back in 2005, Aaron Rodgers was drafted to the Green Bay Packers with their first-round draft pick. And the quarterback at that time was Brett Favre. And Brett Favre was still good. People forget, Brett Favre still played for five more years. So, he was about 35 at that time. And that's older for a quarterback, but to spend a first-round draft pick on a Hall of Fame, or a first-round draft pick to replace or to back up a Hall of Fame quarterback is unheard of. It is very, very, very risky and bold. A lot of Packers fans were mad because there are so many other parts they could have improved. I mean, you can think about this for the Vikings situation is, we can absolutely improve at guard. We can absolutely improve the depth of our offensive line. I'm sure there's other spots that the Viking staff know that they need to improve on, whether that's safety, whether that's interior lineman, another linebacker, more help on the offense, maybe a wide receiver, a young tight end. But my idea is maybe a quarterback. Why not bet that we could get a Aaron Rodgers in this quarterback draft? There's going to be a lot of quarterbacks that will be faded in this draft. I'm going to give my example of who I'd be so happy if we got. I'd be so pumped if we got him. And that would be Drew Lock. If you don't know who Drew Lock is, go to YouTube and look up Drew Lock's highlights, 2018 highlights. This guy's got mobility. And that's what we need behind a kind of weak offensive line. That's why Case Keenum looked so good last year, because he was mobile. He could scramble out of the pocket. And let's be real, Cousins cannot scramble. Cousins is not athletic. Cousins has a great arm, but he can't scramble out of the pocket. And if he does, it doesn't look good. And then he also has faced great competition. He's faced great, great competition. He's in the SEC. The issue is that people would be worried is he doesn't really have a winning record, kind of. he played top rated talents like the Alabamas. I'm drawing a blank. The Georgias, the Auburns. He played them all the time. So naturally you're going to lose to these big colleges, but he performed against them. He performed great against them, and I think that's what we need. We need someone that can perform against high competition. Now, you might be saying, right now you could be saying, okay, Cody, this is nice to be dreamy over quarterbacks in the draft, but we have our quarterback. We have our quarterback for 2 years, regardless of what's going to happen with him, if he's going to play bad or good. He's ours for 2 years. And you're right, but I'm just bringing up that Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers example. Aaron Rodgers backed Brett Favre up for quite a bit of time. I think for 3 years. And why not get a young guy that is behind Kirk Cousins for 2 years? Develop this guy so once he has to step in, he's ready. He's ready. I think Kirk would be a guy that would help mentor a quarterback. I think that would be a good idea for us. And it's just a risk for our future. Because obviously, unless Kirk does something amazing, I don't think Kirk is the quarterback of the far-off future. We're going to have him until he's 32, I think. Which is still kind of young for a quarterback. But we need to look for replacements eventually. And then our backup, of course, is Trevor Siemian. I don't think Trevor Siemian would be the heir to the throne once the Cousins era is over. So I think we need to look for the future. I really think we do. I'm okay if we bench him for 2 years. As long as he's going to learn and he's going to come into a system that supports him, knows him, and isn't going to force him into a bad situation, I'm okay with taking the quarterback with our first-round draft pick. I know that's bold, and I know people are going to be like, you're dumb. He's just going to have the same struggles as Kirk Cousins because our line sucks. And you might be right, but it's still 2 years. 2 years to improve that offensive line so he doesn't have to struggle like Kirk Cousins. Now, there could be a question of, what about Kyler Murray and Dwayne Haskins? Now, maybe I'll include this. I'm reading a book, and it is bringing into fruition the impact of African American or minority quarterbacks, how they're not taken in the first round as high as white quarterbacks. And I'd like to argue this time, Kyler Murray and Dwayne Haskins, I think, should be off the board before the Vikings get to pick. I know we're better in this day and age for, you know, having a African-American or minority quarterback. But there was a time in which people weren't as accepting of a African-American or minority quarterback. But around the league, we have a couple. We probably need more, to be honest. We have a couple out there that are becoming stars of franchises. They're becoming the top media guys, and that's a good thing. And I think it is a good sign that Kyler Murray and Dwayne Haskins should be off the board first. And hey, if they're on the board when the Vikings pick, I would not complain if we take them. I'd be super happy. In fact, I'd take them over Drew Lock. But I'm saying if Drew Lock falls to us, I think he'd be a good take. So ultimately, it's bold, but I think we should go for it. I think we should draft a quarterback and maybe give this organization a little bit of hope. Because right now there isn't much. The Cousins era did not start well. It did not start well at all. And to be honest, Cousins is a 500 quarterback at best. He's a 500 quarterback, and that's what we need to accept. He's going to be average, and we paid him like a more than average quarterback, but that's just the market for quarterbacks right now. So maybe take a cheaper guy right now in Drew Lock. Yes, he's going to sit on the bench for 2 years, but maybe when he comes on, he's going to be a star because he learned so much after 2 years. That's just my idea about this NFL draft. There's so many other things we could do. I mean, I do think beyond this point, after we take a quarterback, you need to go line heavy. You need to improve the depth. You need to get young and cheap on that line so you can be good for the future and maybe give Kirk Cousins some hope to maybe rebound the mess that was made in 2018. So that's just my take on the Vikings NFL draft idea. I'm seeing I'm at 20 minutes right now, so I'm gonna bang through these next ones. I need to plan these out better. The issue is I know people won't stick around for like a 30, 40 minute podcast, which I could totally talk for that long. But the issue is I don't think people will stick around that long, so I want to keep it short for you guys. And I'm stalling right now because we're at 20 minutes and I need to get this done fast. In Minnesota Timberwolves news, moving on to the next subject, there has been recent controversy with the Doris Burke rant on Andrew Wiggins' passiveness. And all I have to say is Doris Burke is wrong. Just kidding. She hit the nail right on the head. And I think she had some great timing. I kind of know what she's talking about. I know what she's talking about. I know how passive Andrew Wiggins is. And she's completely preaching to the choir of the Minnesota Timberwolves fans. This was nothing new to us. So it wasn't really even news for me. It was just like, oh, wow. This is finally getting national attention. And maybe that's good for Andrew Wiggins. Only the Minnesota Timberwolves fans knew how lazy Andrew Wiggins appears. Now, lazy can be give and take. There are some games where, of course, he takes control. But he does seem like a passive player. He never seems into a game. There will be times when he gets the ball in his hand and he looks good. But there are also times where either he has the ball in his hands and he doesn't look good, or he doesn't get the ball at all and he just doesn't seem to care. There is no like, give me the ball, coach. I need this ball. There is a more of like a relaxed standpoint. And Doris looks super good doing it because at that point he was standing behind the three-point line and just kind of standing there in a critical situation for the Timberwolves. Now, for the people that are just hearing this, now you can kind of understand why Jimmy didn't like Andrew Wiggins. And I don't like Jimmy Butler, but I do understand his standpoint. And I think almost in a way Jimmy could have helped this team. That will be another podcast because we're going long. But I understand Jimmy's standpoint, especially with Andrew Wiggins. I don't get Karl Anthony Towns. Karl is a great player, and he is also becoming a great leader. I've seen that transition ever since Jimmy has been gone. Maybe that was the competition aspect. Was Jimmy mad that Karl Anthony Towns is not as competitive? But he's definitely not a passive player. He is a active player, unlike Andrew Wiggins. Our next thing we're going to get to, and we're going to do this super quick because I also need to do a lot more research on this, but it's time to blow up the Minnesota Wild. Minnesota Wild is our hockey team, and I'm absolutely not qualified to say this because I do not watch many of the games. I need to pay more attention because hockey is a great sport, but the issue is it's not attractive to watch, and that's not the NHL, NHL's fault because they don't have an attractive sport, because I'd love to get into hockey. But the issue is we don't have a young star. We do not have a young star. We have a bunch of old men with killer contracts, specifically Zach Parise and Ryan Suter. Now, when we first signed them, that was when you wanted to watch hockey because they were young, they were good, and the team was good as well. But now they're old, they're not. Like, oh, I really want to see Zach Parise. Oh, I really want to see Ryan Suter. We're not in that age anymore. We're ready for the next person. Now, I'm not blaming the organization right now because it's under new power. Paul Fenton was screwed by Chuck Fletcher. I wouldn't be mad at tanking with this team. I wouldn't be mad with changing the coach, just changing everything around us, and just getting bad draft picks for a while. Well, good draft picks for being bad because we need it. We need some star power on this team to get people interested in watching and hopefully to win a Stanley Cup. That is going to be it for this podcast. I know we went for 25 minutes plus. I need to work on my formula for you guys. Yeah, this went pretty long. I just get so passionate about this stuff, and I feel like I could talk a long, long, long time about every situation around here. Maybe I need like a co-host that's like, okay, Cody, you're talking for too long, because Yeah, 25 minutes. That might be a little lengthy for you guys. But anyways, I am beyond grateful for you guys being here with the BNG Nation. Of course, I am Cody Olson at Olson Cody. Yes, we're doing the Twitter shout out again. And I hope to see you next week. Peace out, BNG.